from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. How many knows that's Jesus? Then said they unto him, Lord, forevermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you believe that? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I would like to emphasize on this passage of Scripture for just a few moments that with Jesus Christ being the bread of life, the true bread that came down from heaven, this relationship that we have with Him is an individual relationship. And when we stand before God, we will stand alone. There will be no committee with us. There will be no companion with us. It will be us and us alone as we stand before Almighty God. Therefore, I urge you tonight to partake of that part of the bread of life that comes down from God out of heaven above, that we might understand and realize the goodness of God and the grace of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And it is the bread of life to where we never hunger. And it is through Him that we can drink from Him and never thirst again. I could not help but think of the psalmist David as he wrote in Psalms 34 and 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I am convinced that every one of us at one point in time, and perhaps you know exactly where that place is, like Krispy Kreme's in Rogers, Arkansas, that when you go by, you make sure you roll down the windows and take a big inhale. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Thank you. Bless you, brother. Stuart's the only honest one in this entire place. It is in those places that we take that deep breath in. And I've told you this before, but there's a place on Utica that before you ever hit Utica Street in Tulsa, you can smell the bakery and smell the aroma of that bread as it comes and penetrates down the streets and through the neighborhood of that area. Can I tell you, there's nothing sweeter or more fragrant than the love of God through His Son Jesus Christ that has given us the bread of life, that has given us what we might never have known or would have never have known if it had not been for the blood of Jesus Christ being poured out on Calvary. It is His mercy and His grace and His willingness that He come down from the heaven above and He made Himself available and He said, I am the bread of life. I want you to note the I am the bread of life. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, This shall thou say to the children of Israel, that I am hath sent you. It is very significant when He told Moses those very words, the I am. God declared to Moses that He was the I am, the all-sufficient one. And as Jesus testified that He and His Father were one, He claimed the following to those that love Him and want to follow Him. Jesus made these claims, I am the bread of life, He said. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. It is through Jesus Christ that He is the great I am. And we must understand and realize that when He proclaimed to Moses on the backside of the desert that I am, and that the I am has sent you as He was going to Pharaoh, I just come by to let you know that He is the all-sufficient God. And whatever you have need of tonight, there is nothing too big for God. There's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too wide for God. He's the great I am that is sufficient to meet meet and supply your every need. The Word of God tells us that when He was in the mountains and being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights of Satan, that there was nothing in this world that He did not experience and nothing He was not tempted with. Therefore, church, it ought to give us that exuberance. It ought to give us that thrill to know, because Jesus Christ has overcome. He has made through His precious blood that we in you and I can overcome. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. I think perhaps that the problem with most Christians today is that we have forgotten the place where we become so spiritual hungry that we've denied whatever it was, and we have failed to look to the great I Am. And again, it is that individual relationship that we must culture in within our hearts and within our lives. Can I say that again? It is within that individual relationship with Jesus Christ that you must culture that relationship. You must culture that part of our lives that we can then go boldly to the throne of grace. We are blessed beyond measure, yet seems like that there's times that we're too busy, we're too satisfied, we're too lazy, and we're occupied by everything else in the world that we keep Jesus Christ at arm's reach, and we don't allow Him to be our all in all. We've come to a place in our lives that we have let too much stuff. That's exactly what happened to Saul. He let too much stuff get in his life. We say we have and we convince ourselves that we are really close to Him. But I wonder if we really took an honest inventory of our lives. I truly doubt that any of us in this place tonight could honestly say that we've even come close to giving Jesus 10% of our day and 10% of our week. Have you ever gotten so physically hungry that you have had the ability, you felt like that you could eat anything? I mean, anything. Until you run over that skunk and realize you wasn't near as hungry as you thought you were. I mean, anything that was set before you or anything that you could find. I seriously doubt that any of us has ever got that hungry, let alone have we ever gotten so spiritually hungry that we have refused to push away the physical food so that we might obtain the spiritual food. God help us tonight to get a glimpse of that old rugged cross and a glimpse of that lighthouse and a glimpse of the bread of life, to where we might push aside those things that so hinder us, that we might strive to find the deepest relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we deal on a daily basis the effects of an emotional breakdown while refusing to do anything to get through a spiritual breakthrough. The God that we serve in heaven above is able to mend our minds and our hearts and our bodies. All we have to do is reach out and trust Him. We have gotten to a place that we just kind of seem to let the pressures of the day, we deal with them or we don't deal with them, instead of calling on the name of Jesus. Have you ever gotten to a place that you just felt like you had gone as far as you could go? Maybe I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again just in case I didn't. Is that all right? Just in case I hadn't told it. When our grandkids, a few years ago, when they was smaller, the two littlest ones was running through the house like wild Comanche Indians. I mean, they was about to tear things apart. And I had told them to settle down a little bit. And if you had known Trey and Cameron a few years ago, that they like to I don't really know what they like to do, but they was constantly scuffling and wrestling with each other, and I'd try to get them to just calm down and settle down and play peacefully. And finally, I looked at them and I stopped them and I said, "You kids are about to get on my last nerve." How many's ever felt like that? Somebody's about to get on your last nerve. And Cameron just calmly went over to her Nana and said, "Nana, what's your last nerve?" There's times in our life that we feel like we're right there. We're at that breaking point. But can I just remind you one more time that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life"? Can I just tell you that He is the Rock of Ages? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. Can I just let you know that every ill that you have, whether it's physically, whether it's financially, whether it's mentally, and especially spiritually, He can meet and supply that every need according to His riches of glory, and He's never got close to bankruptcy. We deal on a daily basis, perhaps emotional breakdown, while refusing to do anything to have a spiritual breakthrough. So I challenge you tonight in the week that is ahead of us that we find some time and a place that we give Christ our everything and we seek God for a spiritual breakthrough on a one-on-one basis in our life. Matthew chapter 5 verse number 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that blessedness simply means to be happy. I don't know about you, but the happiest times in my life is receiving the blessings and the touch and the anointing of God. And yes, I'm just like you. I feel like there's times that I get on my last nerve. I said what I meant to say. You probably feel like there's times that your spouse gets on your last nerve. And you get on your last nerve. But happy is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Can I tell you there's more things important in life than life itself, and that's Jesus. Can I also tell you we are neither happy or satisfied, but we need to be desperate. Yes, desperate enough till we get so hungry and so thirsty for the things of God that we allow the joy of Jesus Christ to come back in our hearts and our life. If you remember, most of the time, if not every time, the only way that the children of Israel got back in relationship with God was when they was put into a place of desperation or captivity. I can't help but wonder what it's going to take for the church of the living God to get where it used to be. To get hungry enough for God that we are willing to run to Him with everything that is within us, with open arms, ready for that relationship. That we are hungry more for spiritual food than we are any physical food of our favorite choosing. Psalms chapter 42 verses 1 and 2 says, "As a deer or as a hart panteth for the streams or the water brook," David said, so does my soul panteth after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It is an individual affair, an individual basis when we get so hungry that we cannot. I don't know about you, but I can see that deer running across the woods from the hunter, trying to find a cool spring to get a drink from, that is being threatened. Can I tell you that the enemy has come to threaten you, to take you out? But as a deer that pants or runs for a water brook, we can find our security and we can find refreshment for our soul through God Almighty, through His Son Jesus Christ. We need to learn to engage in the Lord. Are we excited about coming to church? Are we really excited about coming to church? Again, we need to learn to engage with the Lord. I think that's something that we have lost. We have failed to do that. I know we've talked about it before, but I honestly When I was a kid growing up, I knew those that knew how to engage with the Lord when they come to church. Come on, somebody. Preach with me for just a few minutes. They knew how to engage. They would shout at a drop of a hat and drop their own hat. And sometimes bring two. Just to engage. And you say, well, that's in the flesh. Well, they're going to be in the flesh till they leave this flesh. But the joy of the Lord is their strength. And when David was following the Ark of the Covenant home, he stripped himself and he danced in the middle of the street because there was joy in the house of God. And just because those around him was not as excited as he was, did not dampen his spirit because he knew how to engage with the Lord. Know how to engage. We sometimes fail to engage with the Lord because we blame everybody else for why we can't engage in the Lord. Perhaps we don't engage because we're not as spiritual as somebody else and they've already jumped in. But can I tell you there's room enough to engage? It's nobody's fault but our own if we fail. It's nobody's fault but our own if we fail to engage in the Lord. The disciples had the best teacher, had the best preacher, had the best provider, had the best physician, and they failed. Ain't nobody's fault but our own. We need to learn to engage. Would you look at your neighbor and say, we just learned to engage in Jesus? That was relatively lame. I don't really think you meant that because you're afraid they'd shout all over your new shoes. Would you look at your neighbor and say, we got to learn to engage in Jesus? Are you Pentecost or not? Psalms chapter 63, 1 and 2. O God, thou art God, thou art my God. Early I will seek thee. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for thee in dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary, I want to engage with Jesus Christ. Man, I'm about ready to shout. I want to engage with Him. So often we're too busy doing what we want to do. We're afraid that we might get off of the timeline and God might require more time than we want to give Him. Hello? So we don't engage. Can I tell you tonight that desperate people find themselves doing desperate things to find relief, to ease themselves from a source of pain that they're experiencing, and true desperation for God will also lead to restoration. Can I say that again? True desperation for God will lead to restoration. Apart from Him, can I tell you, church, you can travel the four corners of the earth and there is no satisfaction in this world except Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. Without fully trusting Him, it is impossible to fully be satisfied by Him. Did you get that? You might want to write that down somewhere. Without fully trusting Him, it's impossible to fully be satisfied by Him. There's those that's always looking for the next big break. Always looking for the next great thing. But I'm here to tell you there's nothing greater than my Jesus. In John 6:35, we see Christ personalizing His Father's origin, I am, statement from Exodus 3, when God introduced Himself to Moses in the statement that He is the I am. We must understand He is more than able to meet and supply your need. Whatever you have need of, whatever situation you're dealing with, can I tell you, He's more than enough. He's more than enough. And because He is the I am, He leaves a standing invitation to all who are hungry and thirsty and desire Him. Isaiah put it like this, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the water. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You know why? Because He already paid the price. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in itself in fatness." Incline your ear. This is a direct act of personal engagement to Christ. "Incline your ear. Come unto me, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant to you, even the sure mercies of David." John said in Revelations 21, 6 and 7, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I don't know about you, but there is no... Yeah, I do. Regardless of what anybody else says, there is no greater reward, there is no greater honor than to be called the sons of God. Sons and the daughters of God. Our human hearts were designed by God not just for His completion. You've got to get a hold of this. Will somebody get a hold of this? There in the garden, our hearts and our souls, our makeup, we was not designed just for the completion of God's work. We was designed to have companionship with Him. I mean, grab a hold of that. We wasn't designed just to be completed of all of His mastery work, but He designed us to have companionship with Him, that we might love Him, that we might engage with Him. Can I tell you, I think there was a song that was written some time ago that He can reach farther down than we can reach up, but all you got to do is reach up and He'll reach right back down. He desires your companionship. God is the I Am. He is absolutely all we need. He not only delights in us needing Him, but He desires for us to want Him. He gives us something we crave physically on a daily basis since time began, and that's relationship. That's the bread of life. That He isn't just any bread. He's the bread of life. There are two words, and I'm closing. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano if you would. There are two words in the Bible for life. Bios, which means breath in your lungs or physical life. Breath in your lung or physical life. That's bios. The other word is zoe, which means possessed with vitality, looking to the fullness of life. Now, I said that to say this. Do you want to just live? Do you want to just survive? Or do you want to thrive in the things of God? Do you want to engage in the things of God? Bios has that meaning of just living physically and just going through the motions of life, where Zoe means that we possess the vitality. We have that passion for Jesus Christ. Fullness of life. 1 John 5 and 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So I tell you tonight that the word Zoe is used 125 times more than bios. Jesus doesn't just want us to have breath in our lungs, walking around in the shell of existence, But he made a way. He made a way, and he wants us to have a rare vitality of an experience of the fullness of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. Oh, somebody just slip your hands up toward heaven and thank him for all that he has done for us. I said he doesn't want you just to walk around in a shell of existence, but he wants you to have an experience of the fullness of Christ. Did you know that our soul was made for the perfection of the Garden of Eden? And the world that Adam and Eve and their sons ruined that because of Jesus Christ, he put it all back together. World itself can never satisfy the imperfection of the grit and grime of this sin-soaked world. It's the enemy of our soul that strategizes day and night to get us to live a BIOS life, just trying to make it through life. But I want to tell you today that to be like David and taste and see the Zoe, the joy, the fullness of God Almighty through His Son Jesus Christ. The fullness. As hunger produces a need for provisions, know that God is a source of life, and it's through His provisions that we have the fullness of life. Psalms 84 and 1, and I'm closing. How lovely it is, your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns. Get the picture. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Will somebody stand to their feet and just lift your hands toward heaven and begin to thank God for His amazing grace and His love, that He desires to give you the fullness of life completely. He desires to give you the fullness of life completely. It is through Him that we live, we breathe. Possess the vitality of life. Oh, come on, somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. We're still in a Pentecostal church, aren't we? As we just praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He desires for you to engage in Him. Somebody, would you just engage in Him? Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about after a while, but engage in Him. Allow the presence and the blessings and the fullness of God speak to your heart. Move in your life. Engage Him. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Father God, I worship you. I praise you. I worship you, O God. I praise you. In the fullness of your power and the fullness of your glory. Let the power of the Holy Ghost sweep over this place, Lord, as we engage in worshiping you.
I am. am Messiah, David's offspring, and I am your high priest, and I am the Christ, I am the resurrection, and I am the light. The bread, I am the wine, oh, I am your future, so leave your past behind, and I am the one in the midst of two or three, I am your tabernacle, I am your jubilee, I am. Hard.
Oh,
and I am the shepherd, and I am the door, and the good news,
Lord,
to the bound and the poor.
Standing close by you, say, would you pray for me? And we're going to believe for two or three agree touching any one thing, we're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to believe. Anybody else, you want to engage in Jesus right now?
Oh, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus, He's all I need. Oh, He's all I need. He's all.
Just look around you. The Bible says that if we give a glass of water in the name of Jesus, you've done it unto me. So if you've seen somebody lift their hand, why don't you just grab a hold of them and hug them and hold them close? Men, the men, the women, don't get mixed up. Come on, somebody. Quit being bashful. We need each other. We need each other.
Thank you.